Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 16 for a few minutes tonight. I had a question some days ago that I wrote about, Acts chapter 16. And it has to do with verses 6 through 10. I was reading here again in my own reading time earlier this week. Yes. I believe it was Steve. So the question arose in Acts 16, and I remembered it again when I was reading through this a couple days back, so I decided to write on this question. It was, why could Paul not minister in Asia? Or certain locations, I could say, in Asia. Let's look at verse 6 of Acts 16. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. It was kind of like, can't go right, can't go left, just go straight ahead, and you run into Troas. So that's where they ended up by default. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, seems like a natural conclusion, I suppose, if you're one who receives with some reliability revelation from God in dream form. We should not of course, be able to make such a quick conclusion ourselves, but this is an interesting passage. So God prohibited, by His Spirit, prohibited Paul from ministering the gospel in certain areas. Before this now, remember that Paul and Silas had been visiting churches planted in their first missionary tour through southern Asia Minor. They were joined by Timothy as they ministered in Lystra, in Derbe, early part of chapter 16 there. And so they kind of picked up Timothy and added him to the team. And then the team wished to head west. So if you just can picture modern-day Turkey in your mind, from your perspective, here's the center of it. And they were around in that area where Timothy was, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch, in Pisidia. And they wanted to go this way, you know, west, toward Ephesus. Well, they were not allowed to go there. So they said, okay, if we can't go there, then we will turn our sights northeast from where we are. So we couldn't go this way, so we're going to go up here to the northeast, to Bithynia. But the Spirit of God prevented them from going there as well. So the question is, why were they not allowed to minister in these locations? The people there, wouldn't you expect, needed Christ just as much as anywhere else. The prohibition or lack of permission doesn't seem to be in accord with the Great Commission, which directs believers to preach the gospel to every creature under heaven, right? All the nations, including those in Bithynia, those in Ephesus, Smyrna, Laodicea, Colossae, all those cities over there where they weren't permitted to go. So why is it? Well, the fact is that the text doesn't tell us. Let's acknowledge that. We could speculate. Maybe it was not the right time. Maybe it was too dangerous. You know, going across these roads was not just like hopping on I-94 and driving for a couple hours. It was probably dangerous going. Who knows? Maybe this was like the Lord's command to the 12. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, He commanded the 12 to go to the house of Israel, but don't go to any other nations and don't go to the Samaritans. Just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You say, that doesn't sound familiar to me. Why would the Lord do that? Well, let's look at Matthew 10:5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as they went, they were to preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, to us, it's logical that the Lord would say this at this stage in His ministry, because what was He doing? He was offering the kingdom to the nation of Israel. So it was Israelites to whom He was making this offer, and so they were directed to do that. Maybe the situation elsewhere was more urgent, and so going to Bithynia or going to Ephesus was of a less urgent nature than something else. So since the text doesn't tell us, we can't speculate any further, but the text does tell us something else. There was an urgent need in another place. It seems to me like if somebody's crying, if God sends somebody in a vision crying out to Paul in a vision, there must be some need now. There must be some need right away. This was made known by special revelation, a dream and a vision, and so the Lord sent them this, and the team concluded that He was using the vision to guide them to cross over into Europe and preach there. That's an interesting thing. They were in Asia Minor. To go up this way through Troas, across the sea, and to Philippi, to the chief city of Macedonia, was to cross over into Europe, technically, and to begin the missionary work there in that foreign land. So, we know from a later text in this chapter that there were several people that needed help in this place. Although a man from Macedonia reached out to them in this dream, you know, it was a dream about that. It's not necessarily that a man was there in Macedonia who interrupted Paul's dreams, but it was a man. Paul went there and he found women praying, and Lydia got saved. So a business woman needed help. And then who else? Well, there was a corrections official. We might call him a prison warden. He needed help. Remember, what must I do to be saved? And then there was somebody else, often overlooked. A poor little slave girl who was possessed by a demon, who was being trafficked by men who wished to use her for fortune-telling gain. And remember the Paul delivered her from that oppression of the demon, and then also she became then useless to the masters. I don't know whatever happened to her after that, but we could hope that she was truly saved. So the Lord was readying people there and about to open their hearts to the message of Christ. So I suspected that this was the urgent need that was had there in Philippi. Now, as I read this passage, I pondered the notion that in ministry, timing is important. This doesn't mean that we're in a rush. Later on, I said this and I wrote this, and then today I was reading in Acts chapter 18, I think it was, and it says Paul was kind of in a hurry to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And I thought, oh, there goes that point. We're not in a rush. But it was a different kind of situation. Sometimes, though, the iron is hot, and you have to beat the iron while it's hot. You know, you stick it into the furnace and get it hot, and then you hammer it on the anvil and you make it do what you want to do. If you let it cool, no amount of hammering is going to help. In this case, the iron was hot, and Paul had to do something about it before it froze up again, before it cooled down. So work needs to be done. Sometimes there are people who are in a needy state right now and need our attention. And so the time is now. It may be very inconvenient for you. It may be in the middle of the night when you don't want to answer the phone. But you know when the need is? Right then. It may be that there's somebody that has a need in your family or a need, and I'm talking a spiritual need. Obviously, we could extend this to physical needs as well, but somebody needs, they're in depression, they're struggling with something spiritually. The time is now to help them, not put it off until later. Also, this illustrates another point, and that is that life and ministry is not always going to pose open doors to us. Paul wanted to go this way and he wanted to go that way, and the Lord said no. I mean, why would the Lord do that? But I say this should not discourage us. We must press on and keep going, pressing into new areas and new directions. If there are no other places for us, we must go and keep moving ahead. Stay keen about the circumstances and facts of what's going on around us. And since we don't have special revelation today, you know, we're not going to expect Drew to get a vision that says, you know, you shall work for, you know, X and Y Z company. We have to use godly wisdom. We have to rely on godly wisdom gained from Scripture, godly counsel from others who have gained such wisdom from the same source, so that we can ascertain the direction in which we need to move. So I'm advocating for a very biblically based approach to finding God's guidance for us today, despite the fact that Paul had the additional advantage of having basically direct revelation from God about these matters. But sometimes, you know, when there are closed doors, you've got to think, okay, where to next? Well, if it's not that way, it's not that way. It must be this way. It's not going to go backwards, you know, go back to my old life or whatever. For Paul and the apostolic team there, it was to move forward. And then, you know, to trust the Lord is going to provide that open door at the time that's, you know, it's appropriate. They didn't get it when they went They didn't get it when they went north, east. So they had to wait until they came down to Troas, down towards the sea to get that. So don't be discouraged. God uses a moving vehicle in a sense. Keep moving. Don't just sit there. You know, put it in park and just sit there and say, okay, God, move me. No, move along. Keep moving. Keep doing something for the Lord. Do what you know you need to do. And then see how God guides you about that. Now, there's another entire question, and that is, how did the Spirit communicate the prohibitions to Paul and the missionary team in the first place? We know that God sent him a vision to direct him in a positive way, but how did he get communicated this message from the Spirit, don't go here and don't go there? Well, it seems to have been, again, special revelation, but we don't know all the ins and outs because the text doesn't tell us. Perhaps it was a little bit more prosaic, could I say, a little bit more normal than what we would think. Maybe there was some providential hindrance, there was some practical reason why they can't go there. Maybe this is not in the text at all, I'm just making up something off the top of my head. They've got to cross over a mountain range and it's snowed over with 10 feet of snow. Well, the Lord's not letting us go that way. That's not going to be clear for months. So we can't waste our time waiting for the snow to melt. Maybe there's some other thing over here. You know, there's riots over here in this place. We can't go there because we won't be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. I mean, you know, with Paul, the thing was, you know, he caused riots himself. So why would he go to a place where there already were riots? When there were riots, he had to leave. So you're not going to go to a place like that. So who knows? It doesn't tell us, but I'm just suggesting that maybe, I mean, it does say the Spirit directed them this way, but maybe there was a providential component and they prayed and asked the Lord to help them understand which way they should go. We don't know how that works specifically. We don't have the ministry of the Spirit like the apostles did, but we'll have to leave that for maybe a further writing or a more speculation another time. Okay? So, make sense? Why? I'm suggesting that the text indicates to us there was an urgent need in Philippi and beyond in what cities? Thessalonica, Athens, Corinth. These are the next cities he went to in chapter 16, 17, and 18. And so that urgent need drove them into this direction and meant that they couldn't spend their time ministering in these other places at the time. Now, we'll find out, if you read on in Acts, what happened? Well, exactly what Paul wanted to happen originally. He spent 2 years in Ephesus. The timing was later when he was to go there, not earlier. And then, of course, we don't know exactly what happened. I don't remember. Let's see. I can't find it probably right off. But I'll just mention interesting little cross-reference here. I can find it. in 1 Peter, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, he writes, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So there are believers in those locations. Both of those locations, in Asia and in Bithynia, later on, even though Paul couldn't get there. So eventually the gospel had to go to those places, but the timing maybe wasn't the most urgent for it at that point. So there may be an urgent need of somebody that needs the gospel and they need it now. Give it to them now. There may not be another now. You know what I'm saying? People, often somebody says, "Pastor, this person's dying of cancer." I say the time to give them the gospel is right now. Because you might know, I know by experience, by the time it gets to almost the last dog is hung, they're on morphine and knocked out and they can't hear and understand a thing. It's too late then. You got to give it to them while they're conscious. So give them the word. So that, I think, is some of the answer of why Paul could not minister in Asia. Okay. We'll pause there with that tonight. Let me just give you one little other encouraging piece of information. I was asking a question a few weeks ago. Somebody could write me a list of all the hymns that they could find that mention the Trinity. And one person did respond, and I wrote that result of their work. The hymns that refer to all three members of the Trinity, and they gave me these ones. I'll list them. "I Will Praise Him." "Father, I Adore You." "Come Thou Almighty King." The doxology. "Glorify Thy Name." I just found a typo. I can fix it. "Holy God, We Praise Thy Name." "Be Thou Exalted." "Praise Ye the Triune God." Well, that's a good one. Should have figured that one out. "God is Holy." "Holy, holy, holy." "Holy is the Lord." "Saved by the Blood." Oh, that's interesting. Picking out some good ones here. "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." "Glory be to the Father and the Church's One Foundation." Interesting, huh? There probably is more. There's probably more, but this is the list that somebody came up with as they flipped through the hymnal. So those are hymns to our Triune God. That's encouraging. That's just a great thing. So actually one or two of those will come up in the future as we have a hymn of the month, or at least we just sing on a Sunday night. Certainly be free to use any of those hymns. That's a blog post from February 7th. If you want to look at it and make any additions, I'd be happy to receive them. Okay, let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for Your kindness, for Your guidance, for Your love. Lord, I pray that maybe, like our brother here, a door may be closing. We don't know for sure. But for Kyle, a door has closed for him. And Lord, we look at our church, as a family, at our church situation, and we see maybe a door opening with Jansen and Kaylee coming in the summer. And Lord, You open and close doors as You will. Father, I pray that we will be faithful in the midst of it to have godly wisdom, and to make godly, wise choices as we follow You in ministry. And help us to focus on not just jobs and schooling or situations, but rather to focus on ministry. Ministry toward people, and to see open and closed doors in that way. I pray for Your help in this matter through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray again for Your blessing on each one who's here tonight. Take us home safely, we pray, for those cars that are still parked in the snow, that they'll be able to escape that easily. And we thank You, God, for the parking lot being plowed here just now. So hopefully make it easier for us to get out. Commit our ways to You. Pray that You'll keep us holy. In Jesus' name, amen.